Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. One of the few bright spots this legislative session was the support for some important public health programs in the final budget. Funding for tobacco prevention and food deserts is still well below what's needed, but it's a start. Morgan Whitman Grauman with the North Carolina Alliance for Health is here with the details. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about how public health fared in this legislative session. We'll get into some of the details, but overall, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was really nice to see the General Assembly once again investing in prevention. You know, we've been working on a couple of different preventative health programs in the past couple of years, and we got a little money for two of them, so it was really nice to see that they're starting to see that it's worth paying now as opposed to paying later.
One of them was a Healthy Corner Store program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Healthy Corner Store program is housed in the Department of Agriculture, and we got $250,000 to start the pilot last year in 2016 and an additional $250,000 this year. So we're really hoping that the additional funds will allow the program to expand to the entire state, and right now it's really focused in the eastern part.
Folks may not remember exactly. Tell us how that program works.
Yeah, so the Department of Agriculture works with corner store owners, you know, small business owners, not the big gas stations, but the mom and pop shops, to bring in fresh, hopefully local produce, lean meat, seafoods, dairies, things like that, to really make these healthy choices available in food desert areas or areas where people don't have access to a full service grocery store.
There are a lot of those areas in North Carolina. I think people don't realize how many people don't have a grocery store nearby.
Yeah, our latest research has found that there are more than 2 million people in North Carolina that don't have access to a grocery store. So that's a significant portion of a 10 million person state.
And what do those people do now?
You know, I think they have to plan very well. I think that they might get their once a week travel where they travel over an hour sometimes or maybe more to a full service grocery store. Otherwise, you know, I think that they are shopping at these corner stores, which is why I think that the Healthy Corner Store Initiative will really help and make things more accessible.
What's been the response of the stores themselves that you've helped?
They have been so excited. A lot of stores want to be able to provide their customers with healthy options, but there are a couple of barriers. You know, they're small businesses. You know, it's one or two people that are running it, and they don't often have the time to connect with the resources and do the research that's necessary to be able to find the distributors to bring these in. So we're really grateful that the Department of Ag can make those connections for them and help them stock some fresh food.
And what about the community folks? How have they responded?
They have been also very excited. We with some of the pilots that were done a couple of years ago, we've seen that increase in fresh fruit and vegetable consumption. And actually, one of the store owners increased his profits so much from people buying the healthy food, he was able to open another store. So they've been very successful.
I guess another bright spot was some funding for teen tobacco use prevention.
Yes, for the first time in 5 years, actually, we received some funding for teen tobacco use prevention that will go out to the 10 health director regions and hopefully work with middle and high school students about, you know, teaching them about the dangers of tobacco use and specifically e-cigarettes.
How are we doing with teen tobacco use?
Not so well. Hopefully this program will help. You know, as I've talked about before, there was an 888% increase in teen e-cigarette use between 2011 and 2015. It's huge, 888%. And we know that with 119,000 roughly middle school students starting middle school every year, that we really need to continue to teach them every year that teen tobacco use is not good and it can kill you.
Obviously, you know this, but for folks who are listening, I'm always amazed at the statistics of almost all adult smokers didn't start as adults.
Right. 90% of adult smokers started before the age of 18, so the legal age when they were allowed to use tobacco. So we definitely need to start educating youth early on before they become addicted and while they can still choose to make a healthier choice.
It's interesting because I think some people who have just started paying attention to these issues in recent years may have forgotten the National Tobacco Settlement. Part of the point of that settlement was that states spend a lot of money to try to prevent people from smoking.
Exactly. So North Carolina gets $160 million every year from the Master Tobacco Settlement Agreement. And it used to be used for prevention up until about 2011, 2012. We had $17 million for those programs. And so it's really nice to see, you know, a little bit of money. It's $500,000 this year and $500,000 next year. So not $17 million, and it's not recurring, unfortunately. But it's really nice to see that they're once again investing and they see that these evidence-based programs really work. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to share the highlights of the program and how well they're working and get some recurring funding in the future.
Well, that was my next question about it. You said they're evidence-based programs. We do know what works, right? This isn't just spending money hoping we'll stop kids from smoking.
Right. We do know what works. We know from the Health and Wellness Trust Fund programs that existed up until 2011, 2012, that they work, that peer-to-peer education, it works. And we saw a significant decrease in teen tobacco use when those programs were around. So we're hoping to see that decrease again in the next few years.
I want to ask you about something else that the Alliance is working on, which is trying to get more physical education in our schools. Tell us about that effort.
Yeah, it's so important that our young people have access to quality physical education. You know, it teaches them healthy habits for life. It teaches them the skills that they need to grow and be productive members of society and of the workforce. And we've seen academic performance get better. We've seen depression decrease. They're better able to focus. So it's really important. And unfortunately, we're seeing that a lot of middle, elementary, and high school students in North Carolina just don't have access to the PE that they need to really live healthy lives.
And what's the challenge there? Why don't they have access to it? Is it because they're worried about the academic subjects and testing, or is it facilities? What do you think is the reason that we're having that issue?
I think it's all of those. I think that there's a lot of pressure on academics. There's a lot of pressure on getting those test scores up, you know, and then also there is lack of funding. There's lack of even a facility. A lot of schools don't have gymnasiums in which to hold PE. But we know that when students have PE, it betters their academic performance. So there really is something to be said for investing in these programs, because I think that it will benefit the whole child and all manners of their education.
What's the goal? Are you trying to get this to be a policy or just encourage schools to do this? Or what's the initiative?
It's kind of twofold. You know, we definitely want to increase awareness about the fact that young people aren't getting access to physical education in schools. But we'd also really like to see PE included on the North Carolina State Report Card under the Every Student Succeeds Act. And we find that would be a really important step so that parents are getting the information about how much PE their students are getting so they can better advocate at the local level for increase in funding and prioritization of physical education.
And finally, you sort of mentioned this, but this is another thing that's also evidence-based, right? We know there are studies that show us this helps kids.
Absolutely. We know that when students get more PE, then they perform better in school, they have lower depression rates, they focus better, they're less overweight or obese, and they just become healthier, happier students.
Well, thank you for all you're doing to improve our public health. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.